gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's sort of the Stephanie Miller Show.
No, not really again.
Yeah.
yeah. Now with 100% less Stephanie.
Well, that is true. This is the Stephanie Miller Show, and we are Jim and Chris, and Stephanie sounded like complete ass this morning again.
So, and she was told not to talk.
I could barely understand her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, if she hadn't got that call from the doctor saying, stop talking now,
yeah,
she could have done some serious damage.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. But she is at home. She is resting, and she might be listening. Who can say?
Probably.
But, yeah, this is the Stephanie Miller Show, and we need your calls this morning. So give us a call.
Because we've got nothing.
Yeah. Give us a call at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. And we have a couple of guests this morning. Coming up in hour two, we have Alonzo Duraldi. He was the movie reviewer for The Young Turks.
Right.
And he also writes for TheWrap.com. And he wrote a book called Have Yourself a Movie Little Christmas. And he calls in hour number two to talk about the best progressive Christmas movies that are out there. A couple of Frank Capra ones and a couple of more obscure ones that you might not have heard of.
Are there right-wing Christmas movies?
You know what? The right way, we can ask them. We can ask
them. Probably are.
There probably are. And also in hour number three, we're going to have syndicated columnist Tina Dupuy. And she's going to be on with us to talk about Obamacare and also about income disparity in America. And also, we have a little fundraising thing going on with Free Speech TV. If you want to help us get back on TV after the first of the year, we're doing this little thing at Indiegogo called to raise money for Free Speech TV to help get us on Free Speech TV. And let's see, you can go to StephanieMiller.com. You can go to Stephanie Miller's Facebook page to find out how to sign up. And if you donate, you might get yourself some neat swag.
Swag.
Yeah. So, and we like that. And also, coming up next weekend, you're going to be flying out a week from today up to Seattle for the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour.
In a world with Washington gridlock, Tea Party obstruction, economic chaos.
I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it.
There's only one way to get into the holiday spirit.
Stephanie Miller.
Let's kick back and get into the spirit.
Just in time for the holidays, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to Seattle. On Saturday, December 14th, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and your favorite progressive radio star, Stephanie Miller. Will perform live at the Paramount Theater in Seattle, Washington. Tickets are available at stgpresents.org. Come celebrate Prismachana Snefa Kwanzaa.
The war on Christmas is worse than you thought.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, December 14th at the Paramount Theater. Get your tickets now. Go to stgpresents.org.
All right.
And hopefully Stephanie will be in full voice
I'm
by
sure
Saturday.
By Saturday, I think she will be.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, how are you this morning, Jim?
Well, could be worse.
Yeah.
Could be raining.
Could be raining. Sure. But yeah, we had some sad news yesterday. Nelson Mandela died.
Yes.
Yes. And yeah, there aren't too many people out there who can say that they profoundly changed the world. Mm-hmm. Nelson Mandela is one of those people. So,
It's actually pronounced apartheid.
Yes.
In Afrikaans.
Yeah, yeah. So, very sad news out of South Africa today. Yes. And I had no idea that F.W. de Klerk was still alive.
Yeah, I know.
I saw him make a comment on the news. I'm like, wow, okay.
Really?
He looked older than Nelson Mandela did back when they won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So that's all we got.
Okay, thanks. Good night, everybody.
No. But yeah, we'll take your calls at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. And you know what? We also have some other big news that hit yesterday. So let's go to Joe in Pomona. He's calling us at 1-800-STEPH-12. Joe, are you there? Hey, Joe.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
I saw an ugly article on the front page of the extra section of L.A. Times about KTLK going to the Patriot and Rush.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're going to be changing formats here on our L.A. station. So we are in the process of moving to a new facility. And can't tell you,
call it that.
Can't tell you exactly where that is right now.
Well,
but
I don't care as long as you're staying in the area.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be staying in the area. And you're going to be able to listen to us, you know, like most people do now, on apps for your smartphone, you know, like TuneIn Radio, Progressive Voices app, even on the Stephanie Miller app. And also, you're going to be able to watch us on Free Speech TV. We're going to be streaming online via Free Speech TV. You can listen to us on, you know, stations across the country like WCPT in Chicago.
We'll be broadcasting from a yurt in the parking lot.
And we're still going to be around, and the show's going to still be on. So
that's a relief. Thank you, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Bye bye.
Yeah. Bye bye.
Oh. Oops. Hello. Oh.
You locked it.
Oops. Uh oh.
Yeah,
I'm out there.
Yeah, don't lock it on. that's what's happening here in Los Angeles, and I think they also mentioned San Francisco, but we're on at night in San Francisco, so yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
What? Why?
It'll be dark. Oh no, wait, we won't actually. Okay.
Okay. And Kathy in Colorado is calling about the Affordable Care Act. So Kathy, welcome to the Stephanie Miller Show with Jim and Chris.
Hello.
Hey, Kathy.
Hey, Jim.
Yes.
Listen, I got a conspiracy theory for you.
Uh huh.
Ever since the backlash against ACA when it rolled out in October, you know, it's owned by a Canadian company, and a lot of the big investors in that company are
the Affordable Care Act is owned by a Canadian company? What do you mean?
No, the computer. People that set up the computer system. You know, the whatever it is, it's a Canadian company, and they, you know, they messed up so badly in October, the rollout. And I was just thinking, you know, there's so many rich Republicans that are involved in that company that maybe there was, you know, it's a weird conspiracy theory, but I just think there was so much Republican
Who's involved with that company, Kathy?
There are a lot of rich Republicans.
Like who?
I don't know the name. It's not like Coke. It's not like the Koch brothers. But a lot of the people that own that company, that have investments in that company in the United States, are very rich Republicans. And I just thought maybe that was why the rollout was so bad.
Yeah, I thought that too. I mean, especially after 2004 when all these computers started counting backwards and stealing votes from John Kerry and giving them to George Bush or obscure candidates who, you know.
It's so easy to
do
that.
On the radar, yep.
Anyway, I'm glad you're a conspiracy theorist because I had nobody else to tell me.
Jim is here for you.
Okay. Well, I contributed to free speech. I was going to do it anyway, but,
awesome.
But oh yeah, great to hear that you guys are coming back on TV.
And what are you getting for a premium?
I contributed $10 a month,
okay.
So I'm getting wine.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, thanks, Kathy. We appreciate the call. All right, and let's see, we can go to Vic in Chicago. Vic, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Jim and Chris. Hey, Vic.
Hi.
What's up?
I want to talk about Obamacare.
Okay, go ahead.
Damn thing. By the way, it took me longer to get through to you than it did to put my wife on Obamacare.
Now it does, yeah. How about that?
I know, and not only that, we save $60 a month, and we don't get anything other than what it costs us, and we don't get any of the discounts or anything, but it still saved us $60 a month.
Hmm. Good.
And
that's
so
awesome.
For the people that say it doesn't work, I'm retired. We like to save every dime we can. My wife's working part-time. I'm on Medicare, so she needs coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just, you know, when you're talking about $60 a month and $720 a year, now we can go on a vacation.
Yeah, good idea.
So just for the people out there that haven't tried it in a while, try it because it took us like 25 minutes to get through the whole thing.
Hmm. That's not bad. Definitely worth doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, congratulations, Vic. And I love hearing a good success story with Obamacare.
Well, you know what? There's going to be a lot more of it, I'm sure, because it was so easy. It really was.
Good.
Yep.
It's good to know.
All right.
Well, now I'll go back to listening to you guys.
Okay. Thanks, Vic. Thanks for calling. Also, we got Mitch in Illinois, and he wants to talk about something that's close to Jim's heart.
Yeah.
Fukushima. What's up, Mitch?
Yes. Yesterday, Japan passed a law. Actually, violently in their version of Congress, that no longer can anyone in Japan disclose any information about Fukushima.
Wow.
but out a 10-year prison sentence. And any journalist that approaches them and asks for it will get 5 years.
Wow.
This is a case where I've just got to assume that if they're making it so drastic that you can't tell us how bad it is,
yeah, it's
then
very
it must
bad.
Be extremely bad.
It is. I mean, the Pacific Ocean is dying. I mean, dolphins, whales, sea turtles, and the sardine population is disintegrated. So you see all these dolphins swarming and people taking pictures of it thinking it's so cute. No, it's because there's no food left, and they're struggling to get whatever's left. Starfish are disintegrating. It's really horrific. And, you know, once they start trying to dismantle those fuel rods, it could get even worse. I mean, dramatically worse. They're saying that could be 14,000 Hiroshimas, you know. It's potentially...
Oh, sorry. The amount of what they call the plume, they're only publishing the first day's dosage from the plume that was created 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They haven't even not even accounting for the residual that's been continuing to come over. It's horrifying.
Yeah.
The methods and risks are hard to measure because immediately after the accident, we shut down all of our monitoring systems for calibration.
Mm-hmm.
The mechanisms that are going to be endangering people on the West Coast are not publicized, such as seafoam aerosolizes the radionuclides that are near the surface.
Mm.
And they aerosolize it to the point where it's going to be taking the stuff from the ocean and putting it 200 miles inland along the coast.
Wow.
Just didn't want to take too much of your time.
Mm. Yeah, and what's even worse, I mean, bad enough that they turned off the radiation monitors, but they've also raised the level of what is an acceptable dose of radiation. You know, what was potentially lethal now is okay-ish. It's very, very bad. And I don't see it getting any better.
Nope.
I've heard there's rumors going around that the reason that they didn't bring in international, you know, people from around the world, experts at this sort of thing, is that perhaps they've been actually working on nuclear weapons in Japan, which they are not supposed to be doing.
Yeah, they're forbidden in their constitution from having nuclear weapons.
But that seems the only explanation to me that why they would not have brought in international help to fix the situation.
Maybe it's a shame thing, a culture thing.
That could be.
You know, that was my first guess. But anyway, all right, we're going to be taking a little break here on the Stephanie Miller Show with Jim and Chris, and we'll be back to take your calls. Please give us a call at 1-800-STEP-12. We're not above.
Everyone in your household call at once on their cell phone.
Even if you're a troll, go ahead and call 1-800-STEP-12. That's 1-800-STEP-12. We'll be right back here on the Stephanie Miller Show with Jim and Chris.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie, if Stephanie has a fever, she's probably feeling a little hot, hot, hot.
Hello.
There you go.
Do we know that she has a fever?
I don't know that she has a fever. But
I got a fever.
She called me at about 5 o'clock this morning to tell me that she wasn't coming in, and I could barely understand her.
And the only cure is more cowbell.
Cowbell helps a fever. According to Christopher Walken. All right, let's take some more calls this morning. Taking your calls at 1-800-STEP-12. That's 1-800-STEP-12. Let's talk to Dana in Maryland. Hey, Dana.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, Dana. What's going on?
I'm good. Happy holidays.
You too.
Oh, I'm sorry. Merry Christmas.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah. No, we just had Hanukkah, so we do it all here.
Good.
You've been fighting the war on Hanukkah,
I hope. Mama. Feel better. Hopefully she's sleeping. A little blip on the climate change thing. It's 65 here today in Maryland.
Oh, my God.
And it's 17 degrees in Dallas, Texas.
It was
37.
So that tells you all you need to know.
It was 37 at my house.
Yeah.
And I grew up in L.A., and that's absurd. It's, we didn't need air conditioning when I grew up in California at the beach.
Right.
And, you know, it's just, it's so ludicrous that they don't accept this. My point was, you know, rest in peace, Nelson Mandela.
Absolutely.
He was just this extraordinary human being who, you know, sucked up the bitterness that he must have had.
Oh, yeah.
Spending all that time in a hole.
And
just
by
sucking
eight
it up.
Yeah.
Sucking it up and moving forward and stopping, you know, the horrors that were going on in his country.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I just, for fun, a couple of us did. Kenny, Robert, a couple of us checked out Bill O'Reilly last night.
Bill O'Reilly called him a communist.
And he had Sarah Palin on.
Yeah.
And they were talking about recipes in her Christmas book.
Oh, God, really?
And, yes, her flopped Christmas book, by the way.
Yeah.
And they were talking about making a moose stew.
Ew.
And I'm thinking, this man is dead. Every single channel on the planet is talking about it, whether you're right or left, you know, Republican, Democrat, orange, green,
yep,
whatever. This is what you're talking about. This is your guest tonight.
Yeah.
I think it is so disrespectful.
It's insane. But I guess earlier in the show, he did address the death of Nelson Mandela and called him a communist.
I'm surprised he didn't call him a terrorist.
Yeah,
yeah. Well,
so,
a lot of people back in the 80s did call Nelson Mandela a terrorist.
I know.
President
I know.
Reagan
Dick
added his group.
Reagan and Dick Cheney and all those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they all did.
Awful. When are we going to stop kissing Reagan's butt?
Right,
exactly.
Jesse Helms.
Anybody else want to know this?
Right. Jesse Helms turned his back during Mandela's visit to the U.S. Capitol.
Oh, wow. God. Oh, these people are sick. And you know what? There are a lot more than we think, and we just need to band together.
Yeah.
And my last thing is have a wonderful weekend, and I am saving for the $500 package.
Oh, what do you get for the $500 package?
I turn 50 in March.
Okay.
Yes. The Boku, Roku, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm saving for that. And so, you know, I'm going to save. I'm going to get it. And I'm going to do it.
Awesome.
And I love you guys.
Love you too, Dana.
My son does. Hal, John, Steph, you know.
Yeah.
Pop Bree, Jackie, all of you.
Aw.
You know, and all the people in the chat room and Sue and Kenny and Rocky Mountain Mike and... We have made some amazing connections and friends.
Yep, absolutely. We're like a little community here.
You guys. And Hal, my sexy, I can't even say his name without just, yeah, so, you know, thank you.
All right, thanks.
And T-Bone, and Rebecca when she subs, everybody else.
And Tony when he subs.
Yeah, exactly. You guys rock.
All right, thanks,
okay.
Dana.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for calling. You as well, Dana. Aw, love her. Yeah, she was referencing the Free Speech TV fundraiser that we're having to get us back on TV, which is probably going to happen towards the beginning of the new year.
Mm.
And
so I should probably get my haircut before that.
Get your haircut, you know, at least run a comb through it. Yeah, but if you'd like to know how you can donate and maybe get yourself some swag as a result, go to stephaniemiller.com or Stephanie Miller's Facebook page. There are links and such all over the place. It's an Indiegogo fundraising effort for Free Speech TV. All right, let's take a really quick call. Let's go to Megan in Chicago. Megan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Jim and Chris. Hey, Megan.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
I want to talk to you about the whole Sarah Palin, Martin Bashir thing.
Yep.
I find it just absolutely hypocritical that guys like Rush Limbaugh can go on the air for 3 straight days and call a well-educated, well-spoken woman, Sandra Fluke, a slut.
Yep.
But Martin Bashir calls Sarah Palin out for exactly who and what she is, calls out the derp, and he's forced off the air?
Yep.
Because there's no way that was a voluntary resignation. Come on.
No, that wasn't. You know it wasn't a voluntary resignation. Although Rush Limbaugh did get a lot of flack in the press and from his sponsors. A lot of sponsors have never returned after that. So he did lose some money, and he did lose some ratings because of that. But it's nothing like Martin Bashir being forced out for making a point about Sarah Palin so cavalierly throwing the word slavery
around. But Rush is still making $1 jillion an hour.
He is. Anyway, okay. We'll be back to take more of your calls right here on the Stephanie Miller Show with Jim and Chris. Give us a call at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
She's beautiful, all right. Shapely, seductive.
and full of phlegm. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller is not here. She sounded like ass this morning. I could barely understand her when she called in sick. So she is resting her voice again. And so it's you got Jim and me. This is it. This, yep. this is the show, folks.
This is it. This is what you get.
Yeah. But last night, Sarah Palin and Bill O'Reilly mentioned the War on Christmas again, and we have another dispatch from the War on Christmas.
Coming this December on PBS, the new documentary series, Dispatches from the War on Christmas.
My dear Chappie, our life in Kentucky during this great war on Christmas continues with a grim diligence. Mother has arisen from her sickbed and is hard at it, concocting an array of multicolored flaming tar pots, which your Uncle Eufus and I will attempt to string throughout the piney wood along the edges of our property. And yes, Nephew Irville still suffers from the 10-penny nail stuck in his head after a pounding incident the year before last, but his headaches have lessened in severity since we hanged a pine cone wreath upon it. Your brother Parnellus died of the shivering fits a month ago Saturday. Your friend and half-brother in Holy Christ Almighty, Ezra Mello Stikes.
Dispatches from the War on Christmas. Coming this December on PBS.
Oh, God. Kenny Pick, Schaaf, and P.S. Mueller put that one together, and they always do such a great job with great. The Ken Burns stuff. All right, well, let's take some more calls at 100-STEP-12. That's 100-STEPH-12. Neil in Louisiana saw something interesting on Facebook. Hey, Neil, what's going on?
Hey, Chris and Jim, how y'all doing?
Good.
Okay. I sent you a tweet earlier this morning.
Right.
I'm on Twitter before with my coffee every morning before work, and someone had mentioned Ted Cruz's Facebook in regards to the passing of Mr. Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there, and Senator Cruz had written some. Actually, I got to credit him. He wrote some kind words,
right,
about Mr. Mandela. But it was immediately the comments underneath were immediately flooded with just vitriol, just venom.
Really?
And,
what were they saying?
Well, they were the same kind of talk that you heard about, that you mentioned before about him being a communist and all this.
Yeah.
References to him being a terrorist. It was just
in what
absolutely.
Way?
I'm sorry?
In what way can he be considered a terrorist?
It eludes me, but
wow.
What I did was I took screenshots of the entire all of the exchanges at that moment, and I tweeted them out, and I sent some. If you look at your mentions on Twitter, you should see my handle is Grim City.
Okay.
And I sent there's a few links, and I have one that's direct download from my own server, so it's a PNG file, and
okay.
You can see for yourself.
Wow.
And, and from what I understand, some of the other people in our little coffee crew this morning were saying that they had actually erased a bunch of the comments last night because they were even worse than the ones that are up. And I can't even imagine what those could have possibly had been. I mean, it's really disheartening. These people, there was no mention of apartheid in any of these people's comments.
Right.
It was all just, he's a commie and all this kind of stuff. And it's just, it's really sad that the level of discourse, you can't, where are the Bill Buckleys?
Right.
You know?
Like, I know.
I like engaging in debate, and you can't debate with someone that comes at you with just complete venom, you know?
Yeah. It's garbage.
And it was, it's completely disproved that he was communist because South Africa didn't descend into communism when Nelson Mandela was elected president, for crying out loud.
Right. He was elected president.
Yes.
He wasn't selected.
That's about as democratic as you can get.
It's a lot more democratic than some things that have happened here in recent history.
Exactly. And I know I got to go, but Louisiana really needs sexy liberal over here. We're having a real tough time, and if we could get you guys down here, it would mean so much.
Well, we will put in the call to Roland Scahill to see if they can hit up New Orleans. How's that sound?
Oh, we really love you guys.
Well, thank you, Neil. We love you, too. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
All right, let's go to Marie in Atlanta. Also wants to talk about the death of Nelson Mandela. Hey, Marie.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to make a point about the fact that I think that part of the fact that, South Africa has experienced racial reconciliation, and, you know, still there's some work to be done there. But
sure.
The fact that they've had that experience, I believe, is as a result of the fact that Nelson Mandela got to live to a ripe old age, whereas Martin Luther King was gunned down
right.
in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the United States, we haven't gotten to that reconciliation because we haven't had the opportunity to have a leader of that caliber live to a ripe old age
mm-hmm.
and to engage in guiding each side to reconciliation.
I think you're right.
I just want to make that point.
Yeah.
Very good
point. Yeah, well, thank you for your call, Marie. Yeah, it's kind of sad that we haven't had, you know.
Well, Nelson Mandela was on the U.S. terrorist watch list until 2008.
2008.
I mean, based on what? I'd love to hear from someone who thinks he was a terrorist.
Well, his organization wanted to end apartheid, so that, you know, they kind of screamed about it.
Yeah.
Did they consider that terrorism? My God. Reverend Jesse Jackson was on TV yesterday talking
mm-hmm.
about the relationship between Martin Luther King Jr. and Nelson Mandela.
They have a lot in common. I mean, both of them went to jail in 1963. Both of them in the end used their moral authority to help free a country of old, ancient, crude, barbaric habits, and both of them had a great appreciation of each other. Dr. King was a transformative leader, Mandela transformative leader, and both left this world with great moral authority and believable, and both reconciled races and chose reconciliation over retribution and reaction.
Yeah, they had great similarities. Just one of them lived to a ripe old age, and one of them was taken from us way too early.
Mandela succeeded in his goal, and Martin Luther King's work is still
a
work in progress.
It's kind of amazing how South Africa went from apartheid to, you know, completely democratic.
And they hosted the World Cup in 2010.
Absolutely.
And it worked really well, apart from those damn vuvuzelas.
Oh, man. God, I remember that. That was the World Cup that introduced the word vuvuzela into our lexicon.
They had kids with, like, giant earphones on to protect their hearing, because the decibels from those things are just
insane. I needed it, watching it from home.
And I'm surprised that the players could even hear the referees whistle over all that noise.
I think they had a problem in some games.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's go to Annie in Minnesota. She wants to talk about Nelson Mandela and the Republicans' reaction to it. Hey, Annie.
Hi there. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to ask that. listen, first of all, I'm the official sterile hand-knit designer of the Stephanie Miller Show. I just like to point that out.
Awesome.
Thank you. And I feel like everyone's talking about Nelson Mandela, so my thunder has been stolen. But another huge point of my call was, to tell you guys how great you are.
No, thank you.
Guys, you guys don't get the attention you deserve, I think. I think you, Chris, are friggin' hysterical.
Wow.
And
thank you.
The way you interact with Stephanie is so great. You've got such a nice symbiotic relationship that you give the appearance of disagreeing and fighting when it's obviously just a ploy. And
because she'll fire me if I really disagree with her.
Yes, Miss Miller.
Exactly. But and Jim is just brilliant, you know? He's brilliant and he's funny and he's sexy, and you guys don't get called sexy as much as you should.
Oh,
because
thank you.
Funny really is sexy.
Aww.
So I wanted to call and say thank you, because we're in the car, we're heading down to the Mayo Clinic.
Uh-huh.
We live in Minnesota.
Okay.
And my husband has cancer.
Oh.
It's sad. But he's been doing really well, you know, and so we're very happy.
Good.
But I cannot tell you what your show has meant to us in the last 7 years. It's just been so positive and so great and really a big part of our day.
Aww.
And every time you're out here for Sexy Liberal, we go. And I wish you guys would come to Minnesota, but it's -1 degree here, so I don't think you're going to be coming out.
We were there for the Republican National Convention in 2008, I believe.
Yeah,
and that was the first time
I'd
been to the Twin Cities, and it's a beautiful area.
It's
love
amazing.
It there.
I came here to teach knitting. I came like just for a weekend to teach knitting, and I stayed a week teaching at different yarn shops. I fell in love with the Twin Cities. I actually moved my family out to Minnesota just because I had never experienced a place where there's a sense here in the Twin Cities that if you're not doing good, if you're not helping out someone else, then you're not living the full life you could.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's such an unusual atmosphere. And it's also, you know, this is a little known fact, but it's one of the most European cities
yep.
in the United States.
Yep.
You wouldn't think that, but it's true. It's amazing. There's great design, really good music, great mm-hmm. food. It's really cold.
It's really cold. So, that's a little bit of a drawback for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that keeps the pikers out.
Yeah. Right.
That keeps the weak people out.
You're going to have to.
That's why we're strong. But I wanted to call and just give you guys a big, you know, radio hug.
Oh,
thank you so much.
You're going to have to work on your Minnesota O there.
Right there. I do. I have to work. I lived in New Jersey for too long. I do.
All right.
Well, so thank you guys very much.
Well, thanks for your call, Annie. And thanks to KTNF, who has had us on the air for, I think, close to 9 years now. So
yeah,
thanks to KTNF.
One of the first places we visited, I think, was the Twin Cities. Briefly.
You were there.
Oh, okay, you weren't on that one.
No, I wasn't on that one. I went for the Republican National Convention.
Right.
I had a great time.
Hmm.
Yeah, beautiful city. Went to the Mall of America with Ron. Ron bought Stephanie, the guy who owns the show
that's
trying to kill Stephanie for life insurance money. We went to the QVC store there, and he bought her a ring.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Genuine cubic zirconium.
Wow.
I know. It was odd.
Hey, big spender.
Exactly. All right. We're going to take a little break here. Give us a call at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. This is Jim and Chris hosting the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
Ugh. Marky Mark. Filling the void.
Marky
Mark music in talk radio.
Yikes.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie is out sick today. She, her voice sounded like a combination of B. Arthur and an ash can.
Yeah. B. Arthur in an ash can.
In an ash can, exactly. So this is Chris Lavoie. That is Jim Ward.
Hello.
We are filling in and taking your calls at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. Of course, reacting to the death of Nelson Mandela.
Which was completely ignored on Fox News. Big surprise.
Yeah,
except to call him a communist.
Have you ever heard of Nikki Fink? She's a Hollywood blogger.
Oh, yeah.
And she founded a site called Deadline, which broke a lot of Hollywood stories. She has since left, but she still has a Twitter feed. And she had kind of a tone-deaf tweet about Nelson Mandela's death yesterday. She said, R.I.P. Nelson Mandela, subject of Weinstein Company's Idris Elba star Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom, which opened November 29th and has awards buzz.
Wow. Okay.
Which created which created a long succession of hashtag Fink Obits. Mike White said, R.I.P. Adolf Hitler, who really made the Weinstein Company's Oscar-nominated Inglourious Bastards possible. another one wrote, R.I.P. Steven Spielberg, who's survived by his wife and children, and by the Indiana Jones trilogy, now available on iTunes.
Oh, that's great.
So that happened yesterday. Yeah, that was a little bit tone-deaf on the part of Nikki Fink.
No mention of my part in that movie. Where I played Anne Frank's dad.
Oh, The Diary of Anne Frankenstein.
Yes, right. No, that didn't make the cut.
That didn't make the cut. Sorry about that. God. That was a
Chillerama.
Good movie,
Chillerama. It was three movies.
It was an
put
anthology.
Together, and then the middle part was
The Diary of Anne.
Diary of Anne Frankenstein.
Yeah, it's available on YouTube, I think.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so go seek it out. Jim plays Anne Frank's father.
Mm-hmm. I've also played Hitler and Goering on various occasions. Just balance it out, you know.
Well, you have an impeccable German accent. You're going to get typecast.
Well, I was actually in German in and Frank.
Yes, you were the only one in German. Even the guy who played Adolf Hitler?
No, everyone else spoke German. All of us spoke German except the guy who played Hitler. He's just doing this weird clinks and floops and noises.
Okay. Makes sense, I suppose. All right, let's go to Paul in Baltimore. He's calling us at 1-800-STEPH-12. Paul, how you doing?
Hey, Jermaine, Chris. First, yesterday we lost a great man. You know, but he was suffering for a while, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Look, I want to say, you know, I had a caller who, basically said something I wanted. I just want to add to what she said, which South Africa, the reason they succeeded, you had people that wanted to get past the hate, and Nelson Mandela guided them past the hate.
Mm-hmm.
In this country, we're never going to get past the hate because, first of all, with the execution of Martin Luther King, there were people, and you know who I'm talking about, that wanted to profit and gain political power and financially profit from hate.
Mm-hmm.
And they took full advantage of the hate to push their party to political dominance at the time, and there's no other way to say it. You know, it's just until we understand that outside forces are manipulating even the most serene of us, you know, and aggravating us and getting us to a point where we hate each other, I don't think we're ever gonna heal or recover, man. I really don't. I don't know if I'm a doom and gloomer, but I read a lot about Nelson Mandela and South Africa. I'm married to a black woman. I've had three kids, and I've seen a lot. I admire the man, but he also had the right circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
People wanted to heal in that country. We don't want to heal here, man. We just prefer to hate.
Well, it's, you know, it's this whole corporatocracy, the Citizens
Yep.
United, or, you know, corporations über alles, as I call it, that has really changed this country for the worse. And the Tea Party is part of that, just ginning up hate, racial hatred in, specifically. And we get a lot of those calls on this show.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
I listen to your show every day, man, and I know I hear the stuff you get. And for me, knowing that I have three boys, or lost one in Iraq, unfortunately, I have to tell you, it hurts a lot sometimes, man. If people could just look at the other side and say, you know what, they're just like me.
Yep.
You know, it might help. Just might help.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to me.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Paul. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just thinking about people who lost people in Iraq and just how, I mean, it was horrible if people who lost sons in World War II, but at least that was in a good cause.
Yeah.
I still don't know what the heck Iraq was about.
Nobody does.
Well, the whole Middle East and Central Asia, that's about oil and gas pipelines.
Yeah. It's funny.
Mostly.
I was working at the right-wing station in Phoenix.
There's a right-wing station in Phoenix?
Who knew? Yes. When 9/11 happened and, you know, the subsequent roll-up to Iraq. And mm-hmm. I remember sitting there. You know, everybody in the station was all rah, 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 let's go into Iraq, you know. And I remember sitting there talking to the producer that was sitting next to me, and I'm like, nobody has explained to me why we're going into Iraq.
Right.
Because they didn't.
Had no connection to it at all.
Right. They didn't attack us.
Hussein.
And she was kind of taken aback that someone could question why we were going into Iraq.
I mean, Saddam Hussein was a bad guy, but he was also, he wanted nothing to do with al-Qaeda.
Right.
If he found one of those guys in Baghdad, he had him killed.
But he was contained.
Right.
You know, if he popped up, we sent in a little missile and tamped him down again.
But we knew he had chemical weapons because we sold them to him when he was fighting Iran.
But he used them
all. But they're gone. Yeah. And also, they degrade after a while.
Sure.
The ones that, if there were any left, were useless.
Yeah.
As Hans Blix was pointing out before we pulled him out of there because he was telling things that George Bush didn't want to hear.
Yeah. All right. Donna in Maryland was actually in South Africa when Nelson Mandela was elected. Hey,
wow.
Donna.
Yes.
You were there. You were there?
I was in South Africa in 1994.
Oh, wow. How was it?
It was amazing. I mean, I didn't see. We were there after he was elected,
mm-hmm.
and I actually won the trip.
Okay.
I'm a travel agent,
uh-huh.
and I met you guys in the inauguration in 2012. But anyway, So
what was the mood of the country when you were there?
It was amazing. People actually could hear our American accents and come over and start talking to us and almost want to invite us to their house. It was just that friendly. They wanted to talk about it. They couldn't talk about it before.
Right.
I mean, we were on a domestic plane, and this guy just starts talking to us about things and how wonderful America was at the time for getting rid of apartheid. And we actually went to this bed and breakfast one night,
yep.
And they were celebrating this human rights activist 100th birthday. She wasn't alive.
Wow, that's kind of amazing. It must have been amazing to be there. We'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. I am not Stephanie Miller. That is not Stephanie Miller.
I'm not Stephanie Miller either.
Stephanie Miller is in home. Is in home?
In home?
She's
in a home?
In a home.
She might be eventually.
Probably. she is at home and she is in bed resting her voice because she sounded like the inside of my...
Yeah, okay. No need to elaborate.
Right. Yes. She sounded like ass. But anyway, you got us. We don't have bronchitis. And,
not so far. Uh-oh. I touched her microphone.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
You sound like Road Flair Mary now.
You know what?
So this is the Stephanie Miller Show. Jim and Chris here hosting for the rest of the morning. This hour we've got Alonzo Giraldi. He was a movie reviewer with the Young Turks when we were on Current TV, mm-hmm. And he does a column for the Wrap.com, and he also hosts a movie and film related podcast with his partner Dave uh-huh. White. It's called Linoleum Knife, and I listen to it every week. It's very entertaining.
Huh.
Yeah, they kind of do it in their living room.
Cool.
Yes, and they fight like a married couple. They know each other like a married couple. It's very entertaining. They talk about film because both of them are film writers.
Mm-hmm. And so he's put out this book, Have Yourself a Movie Little Christmas.
Yeah.
With selections, nicely bookmarked for me so I can find them. progressive movies.
Yes.
About Christmas.
Yeah.
Of course, A Wonderful Life is in there.
Of course it is. And Meet Joe Black.
Another one of my favorites, which I can't find right now.
I think, I hate to say this, but I think the only movie I've actually seen that he's listed in there as progressive Christmas mm-hmm. movies is Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol.
That was my introduction to A Christmas Carol.
Yeah!
That
was my introduction to Mr. Magoo, actually.
Magoo, you've done it again.
Jim Backus.
Yes, he didn't sound all that much different from Mr. Howell. Well, he did put on the patrician accent as Mr. Howell.
Yes.
Oh, good heavens, a Yale man.
Yeah.
But
anyway, we're going to be talking to Alonzo Giraldi of TheWrap.com coming up later on this hour. And next hour, we're going to be talking to syndicated columnist Tina Dupuy. I know Jim
likes
that.
Try not to be...
Gross?
Yes.
Okay. And until then, we are taking your calls at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. We've also got some other things coming up, like some sexy liberal shows. Next weekend is Sexy Liberal Seattle. You're
right.
Going to be at that
yes,
one.
Yes, and I still don't know what I'm doing, but
well,
I'll figure it out.
You know, you're not much different than Stephanie, I think.
Just wing it.
Yeah, exactly. It always comes out great.
I usually would have been past... in the past, I've just scribbled things down on 8x10 cards.
Yes.
And, you know, been able to...
Yep.
Just do voices.
Exactly.
Don't think. Just
do.
Just talk.
Yeah.
Make sounds.
And, so that's coming up next weekend. And coming up in February, we've got the Sexy Liberal Comedy Show that I'm going to be at. This one is in Phoenix.
One of your hometowns.
Yes.
Please stand by for this public service advisory.
Listeners in the Phoenix, Arizona region, there have been widespread reports of debilitating and toxic disease known as Republicanitis. Symptoms include vomiting, talking points, paranoia, and chronic ignorance. To avoid contraction of the dreaded Republicanitis, medical experts recommend a high-dose vaccination of
Stephanie Miller.
On Saturday, February 15th, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to the Orpheum Theater in Phoenix, Arizona. Sexy Liberal favorite John Fugelsang and progressive radio star Stephanie Miller will be joined by the newest addition to the Sexy Liberal Posse, comedian, actor, and voice artist Carlos Alazraki. Tickets are available at phoenix.ticketforce.com. Don't miss this wild evening of liberal laughs. It's your progressive prescription. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, February 15th at the Orpheum Theater. Go to phoenix.ticketforce.com.
All right.
All right.
So be there or be square. It's at the Orpheum Theater, beautiful old theater in downtown Phoenix that has been fully restored. And, yeah, excited to be there.
I haven't been to Phoenix since my grandparents lived in Sun City, which is adjacent.
Oh, well, adjacent-ish. That's kind of like in the upper left-hand corner of the Phoenix area.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But we're going at a perfect time of year. It's beautiful there in mid-February.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. All right. We are taking more of your calls at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. Let's go to our co-host, Sue in Rockville. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Sue.
Hey, happy Friday, you guys.
You too.
And Steph, feel better. I know she's listening, I hope. I'm going to be the fill-in estrogen co-host, if that's okay.
Okay.
two quick things. One, as far as the channel flip for KTLK in San Francisco, you know, it's fine to contact them and let them know, but you got to contact Clear Channel.
Yeah.
Because Clear Channel owns over 850 stations on public, like we the people, public airwaves.
Yep.
And less than 10 of them are progressive.
Yeah.
So write Clear Channel and write the FCC like I did this morning and said, you are not representing, you're not doing your job. You know, I know there's no fairness doctrine, but for Pete's sakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's the first thing. But the other thing is I actually want to defend America
this
morning.
All right, go ahead.
In the sense that, South Africa has a population of just over 50 million. We have 315 million people here. Mm-hmm. We are an incredibly large, diverse country. So the kind of unanimity we wish we could have just is never going to happen. What we have to do is have an educated populace, and we also can't let the ignorant fools at places like Foxtitious News, and I use news very much in quotes, you know, determine what the realities are. I mean, you know, it's the oldest adage in the book, you know, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter.
Mm-hmm.
But the colonists, when we declared war to get our own freedom, we were terrorists. The only reason we weren't called that term wasn't coined until the French Revolution. You know, 25 years later.
Right.
So I think that it's important when people, you know, that if for these insane right-wing nut jobs to say, you know, we wouldn't exist as the America you think you're trying to protect, some fancy, you know, Leave It to Beaver former world of white people only, if we hadn't been. It's the state of Israel, too. You know, that state was founded by, quote-unquote, terrorists like Golda Meir.
Yeah.
Right.
So what becomes legitimate, Nelson Mandela did the right thing, was called by the power white elite a terrorist, was imprisoned for 26 years.
That's right.
But he's a hero. He founded a country, and he brought together a nation. We're still a young country, but with the size of us, I mean, I'm trying to do a little historical perspective. People just look at everyone and say, I guess we should still be subjects of Britain if you're so against someone like Mandela.
Right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Great point.
Thank you.
Of course, then we'd have national health. But
well, you know, I'm completely for that. Also, it's just amazing, and I just want to say you two are doing a great job.
Oh, we're doing our best. Thank you, Sue. And we love that you're calling in, and we can find you at ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller in the chat room, correct?
We are. I'm one of the mods in the chat room with Shafe and with Prez. And just one last thing. Cordell's birthday is tomorrow, and he was asking for Jim to give him a shout-out as Squeezy McFeel Pants. So when you have a moment, Jim, okay. Cordell would be very grateful.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Sue. Talk to you later. Bye. Do you want to go ahead and do that?
Oh, my, Cordell. He's wishing you the happiest of birthdays, which I hope involves lots of nasty, nasty, nasty fun that I cannot describe on the radio.
Yeah.
All right. That's kind of awesome. That's also kind of gross.
Yeah. Well, hey.
You know, what are you going to do? Hey, let's talk about what the right is talking about with Nelson Mandela's death. Dee in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Dee.
Hey, guys. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Speaking of the right-wing nut jobs that the previous caller referenced, the comment section on the Fox Nation website is appalling in regards to Nelson Mandela's death.
Oh, God. I can't imagine what they're saying.
Oh, they're saying that Obama should die as well. Hopefully Air Force One will go down the Atlantic. Or that he and Hilda Beast, I'm not sure who they're referring to there, either Michelle or Hillary, I'm sure, end up in jail cells side by side. More calls for his death. Oh, and that they're dancing in the streets. Everyone's going ape. I mean, it's
really
fun. It is vile and disgusting. Mm-hmm. And then you have the RNC saying racism has ended. This is their base.
Yeah, that's their base.
Yeah. And if they remove the comments, NewsHounds has them listed in a post on their website.
Yep.
And, of course, it's very interesting. The Fox Nation says, we call for civil discourse in our comments. Right.
Yeah, nothing civil about those comments.
It's
all right.
Pathetic.
Well, thanks for bringing that to our attention, Dee. All right, talk to you later. And, yeah, that's what's going on your friendly neighborhood.
More like civil war discourse from the Confederate perspective.
Oh, my God. All right, let's take a break here. We are Jim and Chris. We are hosting the Stephanie Miller Show for an ailing Stephanie Miller, and we will continue to take your calls at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. We'll be right back here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, what a lovely program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What are you reading over there in your smile? By the way, this is Stephanie Miller Show, Jim and Chris hosting. Yes, and
I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to do this sponsorship. And
this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show is brought to you by whom?
It is brought to us, no, to you, from the No Hair Removal System.
Oh,
yes.
That was a great job.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes.
No, Stephanie, no!
All right.
No! No, Stephanie, no!
No.
No,
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 Stephanie.
See what I did there?
No,
Stephanie.com. All right. Let's take another call at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. Bob in Flagstaff, Arizona. My old home state. How you doing, Bob?
I'm great.
It must be cold up there right now.
0 degrees.
Yeah.
I used to live in Santa Monica where it never got below freezing.
Right.
And now you're in Flagstaff, which gets snow every year.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
In fact, it's white outside. It's actually beautiful.
Yeah, it is. Flagstaff is a beautiful town.
It is.
I have to say, if you have to live in Arizona, Flag's the place.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, absolutely. Or maybe just down the hill a little bit in Sedona.
Yeah.
Okay. What's going on, Bob?
Say, I wanted to talk about Robben Island.
Yeah.
I was there about a year ago.
And that's the prison where Nelson Mandela was kept. Mm-hmm.
Right, off the coast of Cape Town.
Right.
And there were several things about it. It's a very moving and very fascinating tour. I recommend anybody who ever goes there go to it. The guides are either former guards or former prisoners, and you get a wonderful perspective. And there was, I don't know if you remember Invictus, where Damon looked out his window and saw Nelson Mandela breaking rocks.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In a quarry, which he did for 18 years.
Wow. Right.
And it was real white rock and very bright, which is why he has worn sunglasses since then. But the political prisoners were there for 20 years or to life, and they were all mostly educated lawyers, doctors, teachers, but they were mixed in with common criminals who had no education, and they were there for 2 to 5 years. And Nelson Mandela started a program called Each One, Teach One. And in the quarry, each prisoner, political prisoner, took a criminal under the wing, taught them how to read and write in the sand, so that those prisoners then, when they were released, were educated and, they were on the program of the ANC and the anti-apartheid.
Right. Hmm.
So I just,
wow.
You know, wanted to.
And that's the kind of man he was.
Yeah, he wasn't a terrorist or a communist.
And as far as terrorism, he did admit that he had been involved in violence early in his life and regretted it.
Right. But that was the only voice he and other black people in South Africa had at the time. They were oppressed so much they couldn't speak up against the atrocities that the government, you know, was just stomping down on them with. That was the only voice they had to get their attention. You know,
there's sort of a parallel with the British who came to this country and, you know, our relationship with the people who were already here.
Mm-hmm.
The Spaniards got there first.
Right. Right. The only way that, you know, they could speak up was through attacks.
Right.
You know, unfortunately.
To defend their.
Exactly. All right. Well, Bob, thanks for your call and thanks for your insight into Robben Island. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Enjoy your show.
Thank you very much. So, you know what? Let's throw Jim a bone here. Let's go to Susan in Marina Del Rey. She wants to talk about 9/11. Hey, Susan.
Hello.
Yes.
There you are.
Oh my gosh, the break is coming up soon, and I have to talk to Jim about something that's going to take a while.
Oh,
so
well.
Maybe I'll hang on.
Well, we have a guest after the bottom of the hour, so make it quick.
Okay. You guys were talking about Iraq, and I heard you say, "Well, we'll never know." Well, there is incontrovertible proof that invading Iraq was the priority of the Bush administration, because Paul O'Neill, the Treasury Secretary, wrote a book with Ron Suskind about his contemporaneous notes that he took the whole time he was there. And 10 days into the new Bush administration, 10 days in, which would have been January 30 or 31st, Paul O'Neill says they roll out a map of Iraq 10 days into the new administration. Now, this is in the book, The Price of Loyalty, by Ron Suskind and Paul O'Neill. Please, please look it up, because that's proof that that was always their priority. He talks about Condoleezza Rice was there, Dick Cheney was there, and his observation was, this is the new administration, and they're talking about invading Iraq. Nobody ever talks about this.
Right. Yeah.
This is proof. Mm-hmm. This was the priority all along. Mm-hmm. You know, nine months before 9/11, or eight.
And they were already to use it as, you know, ammunition for going into Iraq.
Yep. All right.
Before it happened.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, thanks for your call. Coming up next, we've got Alonzo Giraldi of TheWrap.com. He wrote a book called Have Yourself a Movie Little Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to talk to us about good movies to watch if you're a progressive at Christmas time. So stay tuned for that. We are Jim and Chris hosting The Stephanie Miller Show. Be right back.
Stephanie Miller.
You can't keep the Democrats out of the White House forever. And when they get in...
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. This is not Stephanie Miller.
No.
No, this is Chris LaVoy and Jim Ward. Stephanie is out sick again today.
Mm-hmm.
As we keep saying.
Yeah, she sounds like this.
Yes. She sounds even worse than that. That's exactly how she sounded. I couldn't understand a word she was saying. So,
your favorite movie of all time.
I have that, you know, that well-known aversion to elves and swords. I haven't seen any of them.
In that order?
Yeah. Elves and swords. Can't do it. So, anyway. Stephanie Miller Show, Chris and Jim Already covered that. And on the line, we have Alonzo Duraldi. You might, people who've watched us on Current TV might know him from the Young Turks show. He's their movie reviewer, and he does a show for them called What the Flick. And
it's important to pronounce that properly.
Exactly. And he also writes for TheWrap.com and hosts the Linoleum Knife podcast with his husband, Dave White. And he also wrote a book called Have Yourself a Movie Little Christmas. And Alonzo Duraldi joins us right now. Hey, Alonzo.
Hey, good morning. Long-time listener, first-time guest.
That's right. Well, thanks for joining us, Alonzo. And you pitched us a pretty good topic for this time of year, progressive Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. And you would be the expert on that.
Well, only because nobody else wanted to be the Christmas movie expert.
Exactly. Now, how many movies in general do you have in Have Yourself a Movie Little Christmas?
In the neighborhood of 100.
Okay.
It's a pretty, you know, I cast my nets far and wide. I mean, you know, I've got your It's a Wonderful Life and your Christmas Stories and your Christmas Vacations, but I also managed to work in, you know, Die Hard and Eyes Wide Shut and Gremlins, which are all very much Christmas movies, even if not everybody thinks of them that way.
That's right, Gremlins. And I forgot about that one.
And Meet John Doe, another favorite of mine. Frank Capra.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you, me, John Doe, or as I call it, the other Frank Capra movie where somebody commits suicide on Christmas Eve.
Now, would you consider that a progressive Christmas movie?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
In what way?
That show is so crazily, that movie is so crazily relevant to right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a grassroots movement of people who get together to fight against corporate interests, only to have that movement attempt to be taken over by corporate interests.
Huh.
And it's the post-depression version of the Tea Party. It's crazy.
Right.
And Gary Cooper gives these amazing speeches about how people need to look out for each other and about how, you know, we're all just sort of, we're all John Does and we're all the common man and we need to watch each other's back. I think it's got a lot of messages that I think current progressives can get a lot from.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. And what were some other ones? Jim has the book, so I don't have it in front of me.
Several of these here. Oh, I love the fact that you put the animated version of Christmas Carol in there.
Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol,
right. It was my introduction to a Christmas Carol in the 60s.
I've got a whole chapter of nothing but Christmas carols, you know, everything from Alistair Sim to Tori Spelling.
Wow. How many are there?
You know, I've lost count at this point. They keep cranking out new ones. There was just one on Lifetime last year called something like It's Christmas Carol or something. So, you know, it's a popular go-to, not only because it's in the public domain. It's funny. Dave and I were talking this morning. It's like, do the Koch brothers watch A Christmas Carol and It's a Wonderful Life at Christmas time and not think to themselves, we're the bad guy in this.
Yeah. They're rooting for Scrooge.
Yeah, they are Mr. Potter.
Are there no workhouses?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, both of these movies, I think, you know, I have a weird thing where I think that the three movies that sort of tell the same story are A Christmas Carol, It's a Wonderful Life, and Home Alone, just because they're all about people who get a glimpse at an alternate life and then come to appreciate Christmas. Home Alone, not so much on the progressive thing, but definitely It's a Wonderful Life and A Christmas Story. These are movies about greed versus compassion. They're about, you know, the idea of, George Bailey is investing. He's the job creator. He's the guy who's investing in Bedford Falls.
Right.
And he's providing people with affordable places to live, you know, to be a better workforce, to be a better community. And Potter just wants to drain every last penny from people, put them in slums, and run a town that's nothing but, you know, juke joints and dance halls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because those are what makes money.
With Sheldon Lennon is the boss. All right, you two pixies, out the door and through the window.
Slick up a man who want to get drunk fast, and we don't need any characters to give the joint atmosphere.
Yeah. Would you escort these gentlemen out the door?
Now, Jim and I were talking a little bit earlier. Does such a thing as a conservative Christmas movie exist?
Hmm.
Well, the closest thing I could name is a really dreadful film called An American Carol that's not technically set at Christmas, but it is a Christmas Carol ripoff, where a Michael Moore-like documentary filmmaker is visited by the ghosts of George Washington and I forget who else, basically become a 9/11 Death or something. It's a creepy movie.
Was that a TV movie, or did that actually hit the theaters?
No, it's a real theatrical movie. John Voight is in it, and Kelsey Grammer, other notable like Hollywood conservatives.
Right. I think the original title was Triumph of the Will.
Now, would you? Are there any? Do you consider like Christmas specials as Christmas movies?
That's a book unto itself.
Okay.
That's such a vast category of stuff. I mean, I love those too. Believe me, I Charlie Brown and the King Family are in my DVD player a lot this month. But yeah the book focuses on feature films. One that I think a lot of people don't know about, but that's becoming more popular lately. TCM is actually showing it this weekend and a couple times this month. Is a '40s movie called It Happened on Fifth Avenue.
Oh yeah.
It's a really charming comedy, but if you want to read into it politically, there is a ton to look at. It's about homeless World War II veterans who take over, who secretly move into a millionaire's Fifth Avenue mansion while he's wintering in Virginia. The millionaire's daughter comes to the house to get some coats, falls in love with one of the veterans who's played by the dad on Hazel. So she pretends to also be homeless so she can stick around. Her dad eventually figures out what's going on. He too has to pretend to be homeless to get to stay in his own house, and they put him to work, and you find out that the veterans are trying to pool their money together to buy an abandoned barrack to build affordable housing, but the millionaire's company is also trying to buy it to build God knows what. But it's a sweet movie. It's a great kind of screwball comedy and romance, but it's also this sort of unabashed kind of celebration of collectivism. Not surprisingly, one of the screenwriters actually did get hauled in front of the House Un-American Activities Committee.
Of course they did. Wow. I noticed you have one that's based on one of my favorite songs from the 40s. I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places.
Yeah, that was a movie that was, doing this book, I saw a lot of movies I'd never seen before, and I'll Be Seeing You is one of the great surprises. I think it's also airing on TCM this month.
Oh, good.
Ginger Rogers falls in love with Joseph Cotton, which sounds, innocuous enough, but Ginger Rogers is on a Christmas furlough from prison where she's serving time for killing her boss when he tried to rape her.
Right.
Apparently, back in the 40s, there was no such thing as self-defense, so she was still serving some sort of manslaughter sentence. He has just come back from World War II with what they used to call battle fatigue, and basically is out for Christmas on a test run to see if he can still function in the outside world or if he's going to need to be institutionalized.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in this movie. It's some real dark underpinnings. But they're terrific. There's a really great sort of adult Shirley Temple performance. She plays Ginger Rogers' cousin, who at first is very skittish about having this prisoner stay in the house, but then comes to realize that, she's an all right gal. Yeah, dynamite movie. And I think, actually, Robert Osborne handpicked that one as one of his favorites that he's screened this month on TCM. Okay. So it has fans.
It was always odd to see Shirley Temple as an adult. It's like, what? How did? What? Hey, that's not
even in the Bluebird. She was getting a little old in that one.
A little long in the tooth.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, 12.
Yes, I know, right? So, give us one final one that's also one of your favorites.
Well, I'm a sucker for all the Christmas carols. I got to say, my personal favorite, it's not everybody's, but the 1970 musical Scrooge with Albert Finney.
Right.
I think my favorite of all of those. He's one of the few actors who plays young, hot Scrooge and old, awful Scrooge.
That's right,
which is kind of a cool transition to make. You've got Alec Guinness as Jacob Marley. You've got Dame Edith Evans as the Ghost of Christmas Past. And it's very post-Oliver, so the streets are filled with dancing cockneys. I mean,
And then there's the past tense version of Scrooged with Bill Murray, which
there's that too, with Mary Lou Retton as Tiny Tim.
Yes, exactly. All right, Alonzo, where can we get Have Yourself a Movie Little Christmas?
It is available wherever fine books are sold. You can get it on Amazon as a paperback or as a Kindle. It's on iTunes Books, and if your store doesn't carry it, they can certainly order it and hopefully get it for you in time for Christmas.
So pretty much everywhere.
Yeah. And where can we find out more about you? Where do you pop up?
Well, I'm the film critic for TheWrap.com.
Uh-huh.
As you mentioned, I do a Young Turk show called What the Flick that you can see on YouTube.
Yep.
And our podcast is at linoleum-knife.com. Somebody took linoleumknife.com. But please check that out. And, Chris, we have just ordered our first batch of T-shirts, so there's one coming your way.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much. I will wear that proudly. All right, Alonzo, say hi to Dave for me, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, you guys. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Linoleum Knife podcast. It's a great. Yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
Yep. And they talk about the newest movies that are in theaters, you know, some of the more obscure movies that are in theaters. And they also talk about their lives and quarrel a little bit. It's it's a lot of fun. So we'll be taking a break here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Be taking your calls at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller Show with Jim and Chris. Be right back.
Come on, it's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Think anybody wants to be Stephanie Miller's lover today. That'd be kind of gross. A lot of phlegm.
Not even
involved.
Prince.
No.
Come here. Come change Mama's bath water.
All right. This
She's
is
turned into Linda Tripp.
Yeah, exactly. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. This is it.
This is it. This yeah. Is,
you got yeah. Jim and Kratz.
Couple of dudes yeah. sitting around twiddling their thumbs.
Talking sports.
Well, we'll talk about soccer a little bit, but...
I couldn't talk with you because I know nothing about soccer. Give us a call at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. We got John in Santa Cruz. Hey, John, how you doing? John?
Hello.
Hey, John, what's going on?
Hey, first of all, I want to tell you guys you're doing a remarkable job being left there with no adult supervision.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
Jim, with all the voices you do so well, why have you not mastered Stephanie's voice?
Mm.
She could have gone home without a hitch.
That's
yesterday.
True. All I needed is a bunch of estrogen shots. And
yeah, his voice is a little low. So
well, the lack of estrogen would not come through over the radio.
Although, since she's gone through the change, her voice might be dropping. So.
That's true. She's sort of in, yeah. late Lucy mode.
Her voice was deeper than yours.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling, John. Yeah. She doesn't have a...
Well, she doesn't have a particular accent.
Yeah.
Really. She does routinely mispronounce words, so that would be a hook.
Yes. You know. She mispronouncifies things. All right.
Not quite as much as Bush did.
No, that's true. Let's go to Megan in North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Megan.
Hi, good morning.
Hello.
I think I've lived finally long enough that I realize I'm getting old. I'm about 45, and I'm a teacher of education, and the other day my students were saying to me, why do you always have 68 as part of your password? And I said, well, that's the year I was born. And they kind of laughed. But I was part of the UNC Chapel Hill effort to divest when you're talking about apartheid, and I think it's important to remember that there is a lot that happened in the United States to make that happen and try to encourage – I guess at the time it was Bank of America and a bunch of other colleges with their investment in South Africa. There was concern if we could build up a movement of people who could use nonviolent protests. I didn't do it, but there were people in my group that would chain themselves to the bank and were trying to build up momentum. I guess that kind of, I think we forget as we remember Mandela dying that there were a whole group of people that were inspired by him and wanted to have small acts of resistance.
Right. Of course, nowadays...
And that type... Pardon?
I'm just saying nowadays those people would be sprayed in the eyes with pepper spray.
Yeah, and I wonder where the college students are now. And I know some on our own campus here at Brevard College are working on trying to... the issues of divestment with colleges and their their monies with fossil fuels.
Mm.
That's one area. And then I know there's another group of people who are concerned about actually SodaStream and the use of how they're being made illegally in occupied Palestine.
Mm.
And so those issues about, you know, where products are made and the human rights issues that come up, I think it's important to remember Mandela, the fact that he was able to walk out of prison and he had his head still held high and mm-hmm. continued to be positive is pretty amazing. But there are also a lot of people who were inspired by him.
Yep, mm-hmm. absolutely. All right, thanks, Megan. Let's go to Tony in Los Angeles. Hey, Tony.
Hey. Okay, I'm going to do the reality check thing today.
Okay.
As far as Mandela is concerned, I think what people, just like the lady that was talking just a minute ago with the activism of the young people, that's what I did. Really, that's where I put all my hope is in them to wake up and see all this stuff. Because when you really look at it with reconciliation, what really was reconciled in South Africa? And don't get me wrong, I love the man and the world better hope somebody else comes along, because people are tired now, and a lot of the tactics and things that worked then aren't going to work now. And the hatred, how can you hate this man? I mean, when you see how black people in South Africa, what really has changed for them? Nobody knows. You know, it's still racially divided.
Sure, absolutely.
And it's just like here in the United States. We have a black president, mm-hmm. but black people still on the bottom of everything. Here.
That's true.
Well,
I totally see your point. However, there is a big change when, you know, black people finally get the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge change. That's kind of a milestone.
But when you compare that, I mean, it's okay. You got a right to vote.
It's a big thing.
You put in a black man as your president.
It's a big
great.
Thing.
Great. But no, it's not. I mean, as a black person, you can't speak to, when you look at the millions of people that died in apartheid.
Sure.
And everything that went down.
That was horrible.
The right to vote is really minor. I mean,
and the abolishment of apartheid
hasn't changed. There, you know, we got to look at what is real change. Even.
Real change,
you know,
is the abolishment of apartheid, Tony.
I'm sorry?
Real change is the abolishment of apartheid. No, not everything
but
is better, right?
I'm saying is, don't get me wrong, I believe, I'm an optimist, really, seriously. But what I'm saying is the realities of life and what really needs to change, a lot of the
it's a process, the, Tony. Tony, not everything is going to change overnight. It's a process. And there's several big points along that process. One of them is the abolishment of the system that oppressed black people in South Africa. Mm-hmm. That was huge. The second one was black people getting the right to vote in South Africa. That was huge. Yes, there are still things to improve upon, but those two things were sea changes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see my point?
But like I said, all right, let me make this one last point, and then, you know, I'm done. Basically, like I said, we need to look at the substantive change, not the symbolic stuff.
Well,
first of all, second of all, you know, as white people, you better hope some more Mandelas come along, because
sure,
basically,
absolutely,
if we acted more like you all,
no,
a lot of this stuff would change overnight, because you can't keep oppressing someone and think it's just like the United States telling the world nobody can have an atomic weapon when the United States is the only one drop one.
Absolutely.
Really?
Well, we dropped two.
Let's be real about that. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying this paternalistic white view of things is not how a majority of the world, because let's face it, a majority of the world are people of color.
Mm-hmm,
right.
White people are the minority. So all I'm saying to you is, yeah, we can talk about it's a process, it's going to take time, but it hasn't affected you the way it's affected
right.
other people.
Well, I mean,
and all I'm saying,
well, you know, obviously, black people on paper have the right to vote in this country, but the Republicans have been working overtime to try to keep people away from the polls. And even when you do get to the polls, you can't be entirely sure.
But having the right
counted.
To vote is better than not having the right to vote.
Not really.
Not Tony, what the hell are you talking about? What do you mean, not really?
Not really. If my life
doesn't change. I can vote till I turn white. But if my state of my life and the economic state of my life hasn't changed, why am I worried about, why do you think so many people are apathetic about voting?
Voting doesn't change your economic state overnight. We're talking apples and oranges here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, give us a call, 1-800-STEPH-12. We'll be taking more of your calls and maybe people who want to talk about what Tony was talking about right here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine.
That's how Steph sounded this morning.
I'm walking on sunshine.
Yeah. She sounded even worse this morning than she did yesterday. So she is not here today again. And you got Jim Ward and me, Chris Lavoie, hosting the Stephanie Miller Show. We're in our third hour now.
Unfortunately, most of we both have pretty fine voices.
Yeah. Linda Tripp has made so many appearances on the show this week. Our old Linda Tripp.
Blast from the past.
Exactly. Yeah, we are hosting the Stephanie Miller Show today. Hopefully, Steph will get some rest over the weekend.
Yeah, and not talk.
Yeah, please don't talk.
Not even to the dogs.
Right. Well, we had a lot of stuff going on with some stuff that we're working on behind the scenes here on the Stephanie Miller Show. So she had to talk quite a bit yesterday, unfortunately, but it has to be done.
Maybe she should just text.
You know how those like mute people in old 30s movies would have a clipboard hanging around there?
No, that's right.
Right. Around their
little
necks.
Chalkboard.
Yeah, it looks like a right. Right. She should do one of those. That might help. But anyway, we're taking your calls at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. We're pretty much all about your calls this morning.
Yeah.
We've been getting some.
We got nothing.
Yeah. But, we are also having a fundraiser through Free Speech TV to help get us back on the TV. Do you want to see us back on TV?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then go to StephanieMiller.com or to Stephanie Miller Facebook page. There are links there of how that'll show you how you can donate to our Indiegogo campaign to help raise money to get us back on TV, on Free Speech TV. And if you donate, you might get yourself some pretty sexy swag.
Swag.
Yeah.
All about the swag.
We're all about the swag. And some of it, you might have Steph record your outgoing voicemail. That sort of thing, or a personal note from Steph herself,
Something that the dogs left behind.
Something that the dogs left behind. We're even going to have a special microphone that Steph is going to do the show through one day, and we're going to give that out as a premium for a certain level of donation. So, all that is at the Indiegogo link, which you can find at StephanieMiller.com or at Stephanie Miller's Facebook page. And also, we got this thing going on called the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour.
Uh-huh.
This next weekend is the one in Seattle that Jim is going to be at. In February, February 15th, is going to be the one in Phoenix at the Orpheum Theater that I am going to be at.
Mm-hmm.
And also coming up later on next year, we've got one in Albuquerque.
Dear Republic, this coming election year, progressives everywhere want to thank you from the bottom of our bleeding hearts for being you.
Go!
From your war on women, thanks for pissing off half the country.
Oops.
To the government shutdown, absolutely brilliant.
You must be stupid.
We'd send flowers to each and every clown and carnival barker in your broken, dysfunctional party, but instead, we're throwing a party. On Saturday, May 10th, the world-famous Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to Albuquerque, New Mexico for some good old midterm mocking. Stephanie Miller and her sexy liberal players will perform live on stage at Popejoy Hall. Tickets are available online at unmtickets.com. Don't miss the sexy liberal Schadenfreude.
What the hell is that?
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, May 10th at Popejoy Hall in Albuquerque. Go to unmtickets.com.
You're going to definitely want to make that left turn at Albuquerque. Oh.
Should have turned left in Albuquerque.
Yeah, I was hoping we'd get a Mel Blanc from you.
I'm
sucking
Altoid.
On a what?
An Altoid.
Oh, ew. At least it's not a Sucretz.
Which tastes like cherry ass.
Cherry ass. As Stephanie's voice sounds like cherry ass, Sucretz tastes like cherry ass. All right, let's go to TL in Los Angeles. Wants to talk about our caller last hour named Tony, who said Mandela didn't do a whole lot, basically. Hey, TL.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
You know, I think Tony's the most pessimistic person I've
Yeah, she said she was an optimist, but
I'm a woman of color,
uh-huh.
And I understand her point.
I understand her point.
Yeah, she spent several minutes, rather than celebrating the life and work and suffering of a man who actually was the foundational building block for freedom
mm-hmm.
in South Africa and around the world.
Right.
She spent it talking about what else needs to be done. And sure, there's a lot that needs to be done, but his work and his suffering is what is the foundation
right.
of future work right. in that country.
Right.
Just as Martin Luther King's suffering is ours. I mean, I've been involved in that since I was 7 years old. I participated in the boycotts, the Martin Luther King boycotts. I've been involved in politics for 30 years. Our basic rights are key
yep.
to creating economic parity.
Absolutely.
And
South Africa, by all means, America, by all means, is not a perfect country today. But both of these countries are better for having Martin Luther
right.
King and Nelson Mandela in them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think she needs to work on her optimism.
Yeah, I think so. Thanks for your call, TL, and thanks for your perspective. And what were you going to say?
I was going to say this would have been a better country had Martin Luther King lived.
Yeah.
He was cut down right before he...
But the movement
right.
that he started
right.
has made
continues.
This... Yeah, mm-hmm. has made this country better than it was
mm-hmm.
before him. You know, we're not there yet,
right.
but we're... A little bit closer. All right, let's go to Michael in Massachusetts. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I was just sort of going along with that. I was telling him about, you know, Mandela was considered a terrorist by almost all the major governments in the world at the time. And as compared to the United States, J. Edgar Hoover considered Martin Luther King a terrorist.
Right. Right.
And the fact that people forget that Israel supported the apartheid government, and they also used that government to develop their atomic bomb that they have today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was done in cahoots with the apartheid government. And the American government at the time supported the apartheid government and gave them all kinds of weapons. People forget
yep.
that it was, you know, it wasn't all hunky-dory.
Absolutely.
And people need to become aware of, you know, what happened in this country the same way. Even though Martin Luther King was around, a lot hasn't changed. Yeah, we have a black president, but as a black and an elderly black,
mm-hmm.
and having worked in civil rights for years, a lot still needs to be done.
Absolutely. We're mm-hmm. by all means not, like I said, we're not a perfect country, but this country is slightly better for having Martin Luther King live.
Yes, to a certain extent.
Sure.
But I'm telling you, as people will tell you, the Afro-Americans are always in the bottom 50%.
Yep.
They've gained very little since Reagan took over and made females a minority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You no longer have to hire Afro-Americans to be get minorities. You can hire a white female, a minority. And guess who the companies hire?
The white female minority.
You got it.
Exactly.
No, the white female minority. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Yep.
But who is the greatest threat to a white male? A white female, a black female, or a black male?
I don't know. None of them threaten me, so.
No, but to the average white male, as you can see what's going on in this country, it's a black male.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're absolutely scared of him. You know.
Especially if he's armed with a bag of Skittles.
Exactly.
Well, there's that whole thing, too. Yeah. All right. Well,
okay, thanks.
Thank you for your call, Michael. Yeah. You made some great points. Yeah. All right, let's go to Mike in Madison, also wants to talk about Nelson Mandela, and Tony's call from last hour. Hey, Mike.
Hi, guys. I understand, I think, kind of where Tony's coming from. Okay. Obviously, I've never experienced black, but my children have.
Mm-hmm.
But Obama pointed out in his speech the other day that this isn't the differential between black and white on income now is it's doubled over that of the wealthy versus the poor. So, Tony, there are a lot of us who feel the oppression now, and I think the next step would be, where would Nelson Mandela want us to go? And I think it would be to unify and to not stop and to keep fighting, because evolution is a long process, and that's what this is. It's an evolution
right.
of a human race and a humankind, and we should be both.
Yep. Unfortunately, I don't think the human race and humankind can turn on a dime that easily, you know? And,
right.
and like I said, like I was telling Tony, it's a process. And, you know, we're moving along that process slowly, but we're moving.
Well, I would like to say, as a progressive, I'll never stop fighting, and I think
oh, absolutely.
There's a lot of us out here.
Yep, absolutely.
Keep it up, guys.
All right, thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate that. And, yeah, we're just kind of burning through calls here. Let's go to Tracy in Oregon. Tracy, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, good morning. Tony really did spark a lot of smart talk here, and I appreciate
yeah,
that,
absolutely.
Tony. One word for Steph, garlic shots. Look it up online.
Garlic shots.
Sounds really nasty, but nasty. It's a combination of lemon and garlic blended. Now, to get back to what Tony was talking about, right off it hits me, you know, as a woman, that women got the vote 50 years after black men. So as a feminist, and I've been a feminist my whole life because of that reason, I always, you know, consider how important voting rights are. And I really understand Tony's disgust
right.
in light of the recent caving in, gerrymandering in our own country,
sure.
voting rights being attacked, right? And just general hate. Since Barack Obama became president, I can't tell you how many friends I've lost online, relatives now that there's a division in our relationship, because I really had no idea until faced with a black leader what these people were thinking. And then, you know, it all comes out in comments and threads, et cetera, et cetera. So all of the last caller talking about, yeah, just remember where we were, how far we've come. And I understand you being the devil's advocate, but we've got
it's kind of my job, you know.
Way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sure do, sweetie.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
are great.
Aw.
Jim is great.
Thank
I
you.
Love your relationship with Steph, and I wish I had you as my best friend, Chris. You're a good one.
Oh, well, thank you, Tracy. You are my you're my radio best friend. How's that?
Keep going.
All right.
Keep going. You guys are doing good.
Thanks.
You spark good talk here today.
All right. Thanks, Tracy. Appreciate it. All right. We're going to take a little break here on the Stephanie Miller Show. You're on with Jim and Chris filling in for an ailing Stephanie Miller. Please give us a call at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH. 1-2, we'll be right back here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Coming up after this commercial, I will be talking even louder.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Help us on. Help us on. Help us on.
Whatever happened to OMC?
OMG. Who knows?
How bizarre.
How bizarre.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. You're on with, not Stephanie Miller, but you're on with Jim and Chris. We are holding down the fort while Stephanie hopefully gets some bed rests and gets that voice back into working order.
Don't talk.
Yeah.
Don't talk or you sound like Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin.
You thoughtless little pig.
You're rude and thoughtless.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. Let's go to Gerald in Pasadena. You are on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Gerald. Hey, Gerald.
Yeah.
Hey, Gerald, what's up?
Hey, let me break this down articulately because you guys not understanding what Tony was saying. And let me tell you this, because you're both white dudes. I love you, but you're both white dudes. You would never understand what Tony's talking about. You know, yeah, this country's came a long way. But people, black people, brown people in the United States is still catching hell. Should I name it? Like, Stop and Frisk, Trayvon Martin, Drive Wild Black, okay?
Did we say the country was perfect?
Okay, no.
Okay, then. So why the dressing down?
Okay, see that attitude. See that attitude. Black people are sick of that. Well, don't worry. Be happy that you got this. Time is due, gentlemen. Time is due. You know? We want equal justice now. Now we're on the verge of... And by the way, why is it that the Voting Rights Act is, you know, made in law every so many years? Why isn't it part of the Constitution, all men created equal?
You're right. Why isn't it?
It should
be. Why isn't it?
I don't think... You tell me. I was in the Constitution, you know, at the beginning, I was considered three-fourths of a man. Okay?
Three-fifths, I think.
Three-fifths. But you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, and you know, this, be happy that you got this. Well, we're happy, but we're still catching hell. And you will never, never understand what black people are trying to deal with and understand. Mandela was a game changer.
That's what I said. Gerald, that's what I said.
But United States was still giving, helping out the white wing regime over there. You know?
You're right. Under a Republican president.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. So once again, what Mandela
did. I did not support Reagan.
Neither did I.
Okay, so I just don't understand the dressing down we're getting.
Okay, no.
When we're on the same side.
But you guys are coming from a white man's point of view, and this is not how black people see it.
That's the only point of view I have, so I apologize for having a white point of view.
Wait, you didn't listen to what I said, when Tony was... I said, yes, technically black people have a right to vote in this country, but there are people who are trying to make sure it's as difficult as possible for them to vote.
Absolutely.
And those are the same people who supported apartheid. And by the way, it's pronounced apartheid. Just like hate.
Yeah. No, it's not about hate, gentlemen. You guys still not understanding, okay?
You're not.
As far as the voting, as when she said voting was would determine her socioeconomic standpoint, that is true. Black people sit there, we sit there and say, why do I need to vote? It's not going to change nothing. Police is still giving me hell. I can't find a job. You know? So, I love you too. I listen to y'all every day. But you would never know this experience until, you've been in my shoes.
What do we say? Nothing we can say. Sorry. What do you want us to say?
Okay, see, that's the attitude we're tired of. Sorry.
Right, but when we try and say things, you
shoot it down.
Yeah, you shoot it down. So
the president is catching hell as we speak because of the color of his skin. All right?
Great, yes.
And is that our fault?
Is that
those of us who voted for him, is that our fault that he's catching hell?
No, it's not their fault.
Okay, so why are you yelling at us then? Why are you yelling at us then, Gerald?
It's not yelling.
You kind of are.
You guys don't understand it. You guys really, I love you, but you just don't understand. That's my rant.
I don't think you understand where we're coming from either, though. And that's the impasse that we've had in America for a very long time.
I'm trying to understand you, but you're saying we're not. Because you're not a black man or a black woman in this country.
And I apologize for that.
All right, go.
Okay. Thanks, Gerald. Yeah, I can't help it.
I've tried to become a black woman.
Yes,
and failed every time.
Failed miserably. Good Lord. Okay, let's take a really quick one from Andrea in Palm Springs. She's been on for a while. Hey, Andrea.
Yes, hello. I'm calling regarding Sarah Palin's claim of the national debt being worse than slavery.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when challenged, Sarah Palin not only didn't apologize, she doubled down. She didn't say, well, you know, I was talking off the top of my head or anything. She's sticking to it. And what comes out of her mouth is already as odious as what Martin Bashir implied. But he immediately apologized profusely.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And according to Sarah Palin's logic, if the debt is worse than slavery, it must also be worse than what Mandela endured for all those years, or the three girls in Cleveland, or any prisoner anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And since slavery is her benchmark, maybe somebody should start a Twitter feed of all the things Palin believes that can't be as bad as the debt.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Very good point. All right, we're going to take a little break here, but we'll be right back here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Give us a call at 1-800-STEP-12. It's Jim and Chris filling in for Stephanie Miller.
When it comes to sex, men can't keep from lying. And
Stephanie Miller
can't keep from telling the truth.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie is in home, in bed.
We hope.
Hopefully. Resting her voice.
Not doing that.
No. Well, I guess you don't need to
whatever
be
helps,
a screamer. but you got me, Chris Lavoie, and you've got
Jim Ward.
Filling in for the ailing Stephanie Miller. She will hopefully be back on Monday.
Monday.
After resting her voice.
I hope so.
Yeah. But
you don't want to hear this for 3 hours.
No, we almost heard that for an hour and a half a couple days ago. Or yesterday, actually.
I can just have Rogue Flare Mary call in.
Yeah.
For 3 hours.
Rogue
Flare. You know what?
That would be so great. all right. Let's go to Tanya in Cleveland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Tanya.
Hey, how you doing? And I was going to take issue with Tony. Now I got to mess with Gerald, too. As a black woman, I am so sick of them telling you that you cannot identify. I can't identify with being a man. I cannot identify with being white. So what?
Right.
I mean, why push up on you? You haven't did anything. And then I want to ask Tony and Gerald what website they got to go to help so they can help black people. We got to stop being so inept our darn selves. I mean, what are you doing? Okay, you voted. Did you do anything else? Have you marched? Have you started a program? What have you done? You just can't sit back on your laurels of your vote that one particular darn day. Darn people. Listen, right. Black people. Listen, that's a black woman. My grandma was born 1897, okay? I think I got a little bit better than she had it. Ask Oprah. We do have it better, but we got to keep pushing and pushing through.
Absolutely.
And let's say, if we catch the heck, but we catch the heck because we ain't doing crap about it. Do something about it.
Right.
And drive someone to a polling place.
Yeah. And when people like Gerald say that we white people will never understand, that just kind of shuts down all discussion.
Right.
I mean, how can you have a discussion with someone if you say we're never going to understand? Well, then, sorry. What can we say after that?
But you're saying I'm working to understand, and that's all you can do is work to understand.
Absolutely.
It's like a relationship. Even in your relationship with your wife, you may not even understand what you're talking about, but you work to. And you still may not get it, but you go on about it.
Right.
That is not the point. The point is get to fix it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Thank you, Tanya. Thank you for sticking up for us. All right, have a great weekend. when people like
you white people who voted for Obama will never understand. What? Huh?
Yeah, we may not be able to sympathize with the plight, but we can empathize.
Well, yeah, we don't experience
exactly
that same thing on a daily basis.
But, right, but we can try and understand.
Right. And hope to be able to fix it somehow.
Exactly. And that's what we're working for.
And getting rid of a lot of Republicans would help.
That
would be a good first step.
That would help a lot because Republicans supported apartheid, as we found out in the 80s.
Well, there I go again.
All right. Peggy in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Peggy.
Oh, hey. I was just going to say that, you know, I agree with the gal that just was on. Mm-hmm. She was saying a lot of things I wanted to say, too. You know, Nelson Mandela, he went to school, he took law so he could be a lawyer and change the law. So that's the first step.
Yep.
And the next step, you got to change attitudes. And then after that, that's when hearts start to change. And it takes generations to do that. You can't just do it overnight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, women been going through that, you know, women in the military, you know, just there are all kinds of oppressions. And when you got things like the Koch brothers out there making, you know, just using all of us against each other, it and dividing us, it doesn't help. How can we ever, you know, get together and work on this together if we got people like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Thanks, Peggy.
Sorry, I was coughing just then.
Are you okay?
The trail mix caught in my throat.
Ew. No,
don't help me. I'm not getting Stephitis.
Okay.
As far as I know.
Uh-oh.
Oh, golly.
Oh, God. All right, Don in Pennsylvania. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Don. Don?
Hello.
Oh, I...
Delta Don.
There. How about what's if I press the button?
Oh, okay.
Okay. Hey, Don.
Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for taking my call. Again, I'm a white male. I'm age 55. And the gentleman that called to say white folks don't understand, I want to be clear on something. I don't need to understand because you know what? I am not responsible for the conditions in East St. Louis. I am not responsible for the conditions in Compton. I am not responsible for the high illegitimate rate of African-American children. I don't believe in hating people, but the thing is, the African-American community, the one thing they don't understand about us, we're confused. Why aren't people taking responsibility? For every Trevor Martin, there's probably 1,000...
Trayvon Martin.
There's probably 1,000 other instances in which black-on-black crime. I can't fix the problems in the African-American community, so I don't need to understand them, because whenever a white person tries to engage in the conversation, you can see what happened. You don't understand. You don't this. You don't that. I'm sorry. I came from a lower middle class background. I was able to get 2 advanced college degrees. I know what it's like to be in college, not knowing where the tuition money is going to come by half the semester and all that. I know what it's like to have parents go to the grocery store at night because they're embarrassed to use their food stamps during the day. I do understand, but you know what? I don't understand why the African-American community isn't saying, you know what? Before we ask other people to understand, we have to take responsibility.
Well, there is some subtle racism that goes on that, you know...
I'm not disputing that.
Okay.
But you know what? I am not responsible for the most of the underlying conditions.
But you can help to change things.
You know what? I worked in human resources for 27 years. And because I'm a white male, you would be amazed, even though I promoted affirmative action and I had the best record in our company for it, you'd be amazed. If there was an African-American, they made assumptions about me. There's more assumptions on the other side than what you think. I have a history here. I see it. We would go to campus recruiting and we would say, hey, we'd like to get all these diverse organizations to meet the day before, so we could get them in the job fairs. No one showed. I mean, I understand, and you would be amazed, because I was a white male working in human resources. The assumption was, if I didn't get this job, it's because of that guy. Without realizing, I put that person on a level playing field to get that job. I pushed diversity. I challenged the hiring managers on their decisions. It happens more than what the African-American community thinks. Now, I agree with one thing. When you look at the changing composition of our country, I think African Americans are true minorities in a lot of areas, like school admissions and things like that. I don't think Asian Americans are, but the thing is how we classify minorities. I don't think Hispanics should be a minority in South Florida, but they are. There's a lot of technical issues regarding that definition that people aren't pragmatic or understanding enough to even come to an intelligent conclusion on it. I mean, I did it for 27 years, and I can tell you how I never saw a white manager saying, I'm not going to hire that person because they're African-American or because they're female. And you know what? People were more open with me probably because I was dealing with a lot of white hiring managers. There's more stereotyping on the other side. The assumption is we don't understand.
I think there's equal stereotyping going on all sides, you know, and...
Yeah,
you know, unfortunately,
you can never really completely understand another person's experience.
Right, you can try and empathize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, well.
But he has a point.
Yeah.
I mean, the... What? I don't know.
What? No, where are we going with that? You don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, well, let's see if you know, people have some things to say about that. Let's go to Benji in Kansas City. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Benji.
Hello, hey.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
Good.
It's awesome to talk to you guys. I listen to you every day. I just wanted to bring up a point that, well, first of all, that guy was totally wrong when he said that it's not, you know, when he said that it's not his place to care. He doesn't have to care. Well, you know, it wasn't my fault that the, you know, tornado went through Moore, Oklahoma, but I still sent my $10 through the Red Cross.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
And the fact that, you know,
you know, I struggled just like him. I put myself through college. I grew up in an apartment with my mom. We never received child support, and she's on disability, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, because she has MS. So when they talk about the 47%, they're talking about my mom.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is about the racial thing here with Tony and, was it Jared?
Gerald.
I understand where they're coming from.
Oh, I do, too. There's a lot of frustration there. Absolutely, I get that.
But at the same time, the thing is that, you know, if it's all about, well, black people need to worry about black people, or Mandela's legacy being that he was only out to, you know, advance the, you know, blacks in Africa, that's not what he stood for, and certainly not what Dr. King stood for. I mean, they stood for everyone who's oppressed. And
right.
when you start nitpicking people and saying, well, white people can't understand. Of course I can't understand what it's like to be black. I'm not black. But, you know, they don't necessarily understand what it's like to be a poor kid from Kansas with not a whole lot either, and a poor white kid from Kansas. And it just, it seems to me that as a whole, all of us, and this is where, you know, all of these right-wing idiots that post all that junk on the Fox News thing about yep. people going, hey, it's, that's what those people miss out on, is that, you know, we're all actually in this together.
Sure.
Right. Well, increasingly, it's more about class than about race. The Koch brothers and all these other clowns
they're
are trying to eliminate the middle class.
Right.
They're
pitting the
right.
leftovers against
exactly.
each other.
Exactly.
Divide and
yeah.
conquer.
And that's the thing. I mean, that's the thing, is that those of us, you know, I consider myself to be an extremely partisan liberal Democrat, and I call myself that with pride. But those of us that you know, aren't necessarily politically motivated or don't follow the news and watch everything and listen every day like we do, you know, those are the people that struggle too. And I think that the point is that the real war is, like you just said, it's a class war.
Mm-hmm.
And they pit us against each other. And what, you know, obviously what people like Rush Limbaugh do is they make poor white people so afraid
mm-hmm.
that somebody else that is black or Hispanic or whatever is going to get something free that they vote against their own interests.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
And
Bob Dylan talked about that decades ago.
Yeah.
The ballad of Medgar Evers.
Yep. There you go. All right. We're going to take a little bit of a break here. We're coming up on the final segment, pushing this boulder up the hill. Here on the Stephanie Miller Show with Jim Ward and Chris Lavoie filling in for an ailing Stephanie Miller.
Call me Sisyphus.
Exactly. We'll be right back here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Give us a call at 1-800-STEP-12.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You're talking and you didn't think that I would hear it. People hear you talking like that, getting everybody fired up. That's cause there ain't no holler back, girl. There ain't no holler back, girl.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show, and I am not Stephanie Miller. I am Chris Lavoie. That is Jim Ward.
I'm Stephanie Miller.
I'm Stephanie Miller.
I'm Spartacus.
Did you...
I'm Spartacus.
Have you heard of that group Improv Everywhere?
No.
They're a group that kind of does these big, like, joke performances.
Yeah, like on the subways.
Yeah,
like
subways
yeah.
and stuff mm-hmm. like that, where all of a sudden they'll all start dancing or something
right.
like that. They did this one in a Subway sandwich shop, and, you know, they gave their name as Spartacus, you know, so they could call Spartacus when sandwiches
are
ready. And so when they called out, Spartacus, your sandwich is ready, someone stood up and
I'm
said,
I'm Spartacus.
Yes, and then another person across the room stood up and said, I'm Spartacus. And the entire restaurant stood up and said, I've been really
great.
Freaked out the workers there. But anyway, Stephanie Miller Show, give us a call at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. We're in our final segment here. Thanks for hanging with us today. Been pushing this rock
glad
up that hill.
We've had so many calls.
Yes, exactly.
As difficult as some of them have been.
Yep.
It'd be worse to have no calls.
Absolutely. Okay, let's go to Bob in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, and I come in somewhere between the two callers, the one that jumped all over you guys.
Yeah.
And the girl that called in after him and tried to defend you. I
I was the only white kid on the block when I was 13 years old. I'm 63 now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more so than some of the white people in the community I'm in now, which has probably only got one or two black kids in the whole community, I think I can see things from the, was it Gerald the first caller?
Tony was the first caller. Gerald was the second. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I can see things more from his point of view than some white people at my age might. But by the same token, you've got to be very careful. You know, they preach to young kids in school to give them an incentive to strive, that they preach self-esteem. And self-esteem works. Martin Luther King used it. Self-esteem works until you're lying to yourself. And when you get a white caller that says he's not responsible, he ought to look at how he benefited to get to where he's at.
Yep.
And you guys don't have to apologize for not being black. You don't have to apologize for not being able to think like a black person. But whenever a white person comes along that basically doesn't make an effort to see it from the black person's point of view, I think an apology is definitely in order. And as far as the self-esteem goes, what President Obama did when he came out with exceptionalism, I was the only guy that screamed harder than Vladimir Putin. Basically, when you're exceptional, go ahead, go pick up the award. But the problem with picking up that award is if you pick it up and you ignore when you aren't exceptional, that's the big problem. And it's a process. Everything that Martin Luther King started or Nelson Mandela started is a process, like you said.
Yep.
But as soon as you look at our exceptional progress, you're in big trouble.
Exactly. And I thank you for your call. Let's go to Beth Ann in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Beth Ann.
Hey, Chris and Jim. Love you guys. My comment is related to something that Tony said, and I'd love to have more discussion about it wherever. But it was regarding maybe symbolic versus substantive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And with, having President Obama as our first black president, I'm way left, and so I see him as moderate, and we're not going to get much change.
He's one of our best Republican presidents.
Well, I mean, he's
but if I can make the big point is about the symbolism that the change he brings, the drama of him being I'm nervous, I can't
see. Sure, no, yeah.
But
we'll be gentle.
The symbolism is it's very important, and it can make things happen. You know, you can't underplay the power that having young black kids see him as a president,
right,
what that can do for them.
Sure.
That's super powerful. But at the same time, African Americans that have been fighting for change and trying to, get progress in that way, him being president can almost be damaging. That's my words aren't good, but that people are going to go, oh, look, you had Obama, you had your chance, or, oh, so Obama, he's representing what black people want, kind of thing. And so in some ways, they're the true fighters for the progress for African Americans is muted.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and it's a dichotomy that's really interesting and worthy of discussion.
Yep. Absolutely, and thanks. You did great, Beth Ann. Thanks for your call.
You didn't fix all the problems.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Josh in Calgary. Let's get the Canadian perspective. Hey, Josh.
Yeah, I wanted to add to Bob's comment, which was really on point there, when the other white gentleman was commenting on Gerald and Tony's response. I like coming from that perspective of being African American and being able to vote, you can't dispute that. That is a positive thing. It's going to help us. And if you stop exercising your right to vote and everybody does that, we're never going to get anywhere. But if a white male says he's not responsible,
mm-hmm.
Because a few or the people around him, the African Americans around him have been struggling and do not have the self-esteem, the tenacity, the ambition, and the optimism to move forward, because everything that they see around them is nothing but inability to move, you know, just they're being suppressed in every direction, then you're losing sight of how you can help them. And so it, like Bob said, it's kind of in the middle, and that's kind of my point. You kind of had pretty much mentioned what I meant, what I said.
Okay.
But you can't dismiss the voting.
Yep.
That's something that's positive.
You're right. All right. And thanks for your call, Josh. And we're about out of time here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Whew, thank God. We have someone on the line, Richard in Baltimore. We don't have time to get to his call. He said he would donate $500 if I take my shirt off.
Oh, boy.
Donate $500 to Free Speech TV. Not going to do that right now, but... But
I'd donate $500 to make you not take your shirt off.
If you want to, see my shirt off, I did a little web series called Where the Bears Are. Go to wherethebearsare.tv. The DVD is out right now. I got my shirt off in that, so there's your $500. So, thanks for joining us today. We'll see you Monday.